Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes. Remake the world, remake the world, remake the world. That is the purpose and intention that our community is involved in, remaking the world. Shout out to Wilmore Siddiqui, the music that's in the background. Bismillah, man, and Ahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome Tuesday morning programming right here on American Muslim 360. My name is William Kareem, and this program is Stories of the Prophets, Lives of the Prophet by Ibn Kathir. Yes. So we have started from Adam, and from Adam to Idris, to Noah, to Hud, to Salih, to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Lot, Shuaib, Yusuf, Job, Yunus, Musa, Ezekiel, Elisha, Samuel, Dawood, Suleiman, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and today we are going to go into the 24th prophet, which is Prophet Daniel. But just as a recap, what we're going to do is just go over a little bit to let you know what happened under Joshua. You know, Joshua hit the battles of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. Anyway, so it was reported that stated Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Jerusalem. He had told the Hebrews, he had told the Israelites, but I don't use that word, because it's a negative connotation and has everything to do with Zionism. So I'm just going to use the Hebrews in place of Israelites. Okay, so he told the Hebrews had a man who used to predict what had befallen them, describing the king and his actions, foretelling that he would slay their warriors, capture their children, destroy the temples, and build their and burn their Torah. They had said he was lying, and so they tied him and kept him in prison. Nebuchadnezzar ordered that he be brought out from the prison. Jeremiah, who was the prophet we're talking about, was, Jeremiah was released, and the king said to him, did you warn these people against what had happened to them? Jeremiah affirmed it, and the king said, I knew that, Jeremiah stated. Allah sent me to them, and they accused me of lying. Nebuchadnezzar said, did they beat you and imprison you? He replied, yes. The king said, what a wicked race to deny their prophet and their Lord's message. So would you like to join me for me to honor you and make you free? And if you want to remain in your country, I grant you that. Jeremiah replied, I am still in the security of Allah when I did not go away from the country at all. If the Hebrews did not go out of it, then I would not fear you, nor any other, nor would you have authority over them. When Nebuchadnezzar heard this, he let him alone. And so Jeremiah went to live in his place in Elijah. According to another one, Nebuchadnezzar marched on Jerusalem as king, who was a descendant of David and who had built Jerusalem for the Hebrews, made peace with him. Nebuchadnezzar took hostages and departed. When he had gone as far as some country is concerned called Samaria, he learned that the Hebrews had risen against their king and killed him because he had made peace with him, Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar beheaded all the hostages that were with him. He returned to the Hebrews and invaded the city, killing the warriors and capturing their families. When he had found Jeremiah in prison and released him, Jeremiah told him the story and his warning concerning him. Nebuchadnezzar said, what a wicked people, etc., etc. So the Hebrews do not repent. He said to them, woe to us, we have disobeyed Allah. We must repent to Allah, great and majestic, for what we have done. And I shall pray to Allah to accept our repentance. This is what Jeremiah was saying. He prayed so, and Allah revealed to him that he would not accept it. If they are sincere, they must stay with you in this country or town. He told them what Allah had revealed. They said, how can we stay in this town when it has been devastated and Allah is angry with his people? So they refused to stay, talking about the Hebrews. So one of the, from Ibn Khaldun, he said that since that time, the children of the Hebrews were dispersed the world over. Some of them went to the Hijaz, Taif, and Medina, and others settled in Wadi al-Quwara. Some went to Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar wrote to its king, demanding those who had escaped thither, but he refused. So Nebuchadnezzar mounted his army and fought him. He defeated him and captured their children. Then he marched to the stream of Morocco. So this here is saying the same thing basically again. So then Jeremiah sleeps for 100 years, and Jerusalem is rebuilt. Now, I don't know what that means, that he actually, we don't know what that actually means, and whether it's some high science or some high equivalent of sleeping. So Hashem reported that Allah the Exalted revealed to Jeremiah, I'm going to reconstruct Jerusalem, so go there. He went and found it devastated. He said to himself, Exalted be Allah. Allah told me to come to this city and that he was reconstructing it. When will Allah rebuild it? And when will he bring it back to life? Okay, then he slept and his donkey with him. Okay? Okay. So he slept and his donkey with him for 70 years until Nebuchadnezzar and the king over him, Naharibshab, who had ruled 120 years, had perished. Barishab was succeeded by his son, Basirabit, whoever, according to the Bible. Okay? And news of the death of Nebuchadnezzar had reached the sun through Sham, which was in utter ruin. The wild beasts had multiplied in Palestine. Palestine, the name of Palestine. We're talking about the Holy Land, the land of a lot of history, brothers and sisters. Again, it says, the news of the death of Nebuchadnezzar had reached Basharab through Sham in Syria, which was in utter ruin. The wild beasts had multiplied in Palestine, for it had become empty of men. Basharab therefore called on the Hebrews in Babylon. Whoever wants to return to Sham or Syria, Palestine, may do so. So it was ruled by one from the house of David, who was ordered by Basharab to rebuild Jerusalem and his temple. So they returned and rebuilt it. Then Jeremiah opened his eyes, I guess, 75 years later, blinked from the 70-year sleep and saw how the city was being reconstructed. Wow. He remained in that sleep of his until he had completed 100 years. When Allah awoke him, he thought what he had slept no more than an hour. We've heard this before, of course. How long have you been sleeping? Oh, a day or part of a day. Nay, thou hast slept 100 years. Remember that? Okay, so it's kind of repeated here. When Allah awoke him, he thought he had slept no more than an hour. He had known the city as a devastated land. When he saw it rebuilt and populated, he said, he grants wisdom to whom he pleases, and he to whom wisdom is granted is indeed granted abundant good. But none, remember, will receive admonition except men of understanding. That's from Surah 2, verse 269. Okay? So, the history the Hebrews, I'm not going to say the name. The history of the Hebrews after its rebuilding. So Ibn al-Karabi said that the Hebrews settled it, and Allah rebuilt their glory. It remained so until Rome vanquished them in the era of the tribal kings. Then they lost their community and their authority after the appearance of Christianity. Oh, wow. So this is how religion, you know, just a side note, this is how Christianity plays, and we should take into consideration that Allah says that I will raise you up unto myself. And I think that this is basically what they're talking about, that you know, even though Jesus or Esau was a Jew, you know, he winded up raising Jesus to himself by establishing the religion of Christianity. Just my thoughts, y'all, you know. Anyway, Rome vanquished them in the era of the tribal kings, and they lost their community and the authority after the appearance of Christianity. This is how Ibn Jarrah tells their story in his History of Jerusalem. He said that Belharabshab was a just king and diplomat. The people, chiefs, and kings obeyed him, and he was gifted in the construction of cities, canals, and institutions. When he grew too weak to rule, after more than 100 years, his son Basharab ascended to the throne. And during his reign, the religion of, Zoroastrianism, you know, this Zoroastrian, let's see how we say this, because this is an important word. So that's why, you know, we're going to take the time to find out the proper saying of this word. Okay, let's see. We have that, and then this is how you say it.
Zoroastrianism.
Again.
Zoroastrianism. 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 Zoroastrianism.
Anyway, not an easy word. Okay, so we'll continue. But it winds up being, a religion created by human beings. That's basically what it winds up being. So this new, during his reign, the religion of Zoroastrianism appeared. So you got Christianity, okay? So first, this is what we have. We have the Hebrews, which have the Hebrew religion. And then next thing you know, we got Christianity. And then out of Christianity, then we get Zoroastrianism appeared. So the man named Zoroastria had been a companion of Jeremiah and had angered him. So Jeremiah cursed him. So Zoroaster became a leper. He went to the land of Azerbaijan, joined Basharib, forced people to embrace it, and killed many people who disobeyed him. Better go ahead, man. You better accept this religion of Zoroastrianism, because if you don't, then we're going to kill you. That's what the human being does. And we'll find out later on that this is not something new, what the human being does, as far as forcing people to, you know, accept your way or die. That's man, the human being has a history of doing this. Anyway, continuing. After Basharah, his son Barman ruled. They were among the famous heroic kings of Persia, and Nebuchadnezzar had been deputy to all three of them. He lived a long time, may Allah. Wow. I don't even want to say it. But they said that after Basharah, his son Barman ruled, they were among the famous then kings of Persia, and Nebuchadnezzar had been deputy to all three of them. It's a long time. Then it has a negative saying about him. The essence of what has been written by Ibn Jarrah is that the personal wayfarer passing through this village was Jeremiah. Others say that it was Hosea, and this is the consensus of the ancients and those after their time, but Allah knows best. Okay, so I think that this probably ends the story. Yes, it does. And so we go on to the next one. We're not going to pause. We're going to continue. Because this here is about the prophet Daniel. Allah saves Daniel from the lions. Okay. So, Ibn Abi al-Dunya narrated the following, based on a chain of citations. Nebuchadnezzar captured the two lions and threw them into a pit. He then brought Daniel and threw him at them, yet they did not pounce at him. Rather, he remained as Allah wished. When then he desired food and drink, Allah revealed to Jeremiah, who was in Sham, prepare food and drink for Daniel. This is weird. I got to go over this again. Because the story seems to say that Nebuchadnezzar was bad, and then all of a sudden they say that Nebuchadnezzar captured two lions and threw them into a pit. He then brought Daniel and threw Daniel into the pit. Yet they did not pounce on Daniel. So rather he remained as Allah wished. So when he desired food and drink, talking about Daniel, revealed to Jeremiah, now Jeremiah is back in the picture, who was in Sham, Palestine, prepared food and drink for Daniel. So we're back, Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar back again, okay? He said, oh Lord, I am in Jerusalem while Daniel is in Babylon. So this is what the saying says. When then he desired food and drink, talking about Daniel, Allah revealed to Jeremiah, who was in Palestine, prepare food and drink for Daniel. He said, oh Lord, I'm in Jerusalem while Daniel is in Babylon. for Iraq. Allah revealed to him, do what I have commanded you to do, and I shall send you one who will carry you what you have prepared. Okay, let's take this with a grain of salt, brothers and sisters. So Jeremiah did so, and Allah sent him something that would carry him until he arrived at the brink of the pit. This is the story, brothers and sisters. Then Daniel asked, who is this? He said, I am Jeremiah. He asked, what brought you? He said, your Lord sent me to you. He said, being Daniel, and so my Lord has remembered me? He said, yes. We're talking about Jeremiah said, yes. So Daniel said, praise be to Allah, who never forgets those who appeal to him, and praise be to him who compensates good with good, rewards patience and safety, dispels harm after distress, assures us when we are overwhelmed, and this is our hope when skills befall us. Okay? So Daniel after death. So Yunus Bakir reported that Muhammad Ishaq reported that Abu Abdinah reported that Abdul Aliyah said, oh boy. So these are the chains. That's what they call them, the chains. Again, Yunus Ibn Bakir reported that Muhammad Ishaq reported that Ibn Abu Khalid Ibn Daniyah reported that Abdul Aliyah said, in quotes, when Tashdar was invaded, we found in the treasure house of Al-Hamazan a bed on which laid a dead man with a holy script at his bedside. We took the scripture to Umar ibn Khattab. He called Ka'b and he translated it into Arabic. And it was the first Arabic, and I was the first to read it. I read it as I read the Quran. Here, in quotes, it says, here I, Khalid ibn Dinar, said to Abul, what was in it? He said, life history, annals, songs, speech, and what is to come. I asked, and what did you do with the man? He said, we dug in the riverbank 13 separate graves. At nightfall, we buried him and leveled all the graves in order to mislead people, for they would tamper with him. Okay, so, all right, so let's take a look at this. So, they said that, so this man found in the treasure house a bed on which lay the dead man. And the dead man had a holy script at his bedside. So they took the script, and this man, Al-Kab, who had translated it into Arabic, and he said, I was the first Arab to read it. So he said, when I read it, he said, I read it as I read the Quran. Here, I, Khalid ibn Dinar, said to him, what was it? He said, life history, annals, songs, speech, and what is to come. Okay, so these were people, let's take a look at it. These are people who this was a situation that they found this man, and he had scrolls next to him in the treasure house, and the man died in the treasure house, man, with all the treasures around him, he died. But he had the scrolls of life history, annals, meaning, you know, calendar of events, songs, speeches, and what is to come, or prophecies. So he asked, so what did you do with the man? He said, we dug in the river 13 separate graves for the man. At nightfall, we buried him and leveled all the graves in order to mislead people, for they would tamper with him. I don't know why, but I guess there was a reason. So he says, well, so he asked, well, what did they want from him? He said, when the sky was cloudless for them, they went out without his bed, and it rained. I asked, what did you think the man was? He said, a man called Daniel. Whoa. I asked, And for how long had he been dead when you found him? He said 300 years. I asked, did not anything change on him? He said, no, except for the hairs on his face, beard, and mustache. The skin of the prophet is not harmed by the earth, nor devoured by hyenas. Okay. So maybe in that time that's what happened. But right now, you know, like you put somebody in a cave like that, look, the roaches, the ants, and everybody else going to come out to get a piece of that, especially for 300 years? What? Anyway, so the chain of citation from Abdu'l-Aliyah is good. And if the date of the dead man's death was really 300 years, then he was not a prophet but a saintly man, because there was no prophet between Jesus, peace be upon him, and the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, according to the hadith in Bukhari. The span between them, the dead man and Muhammad, was variously reported as 400, 600, and 620 years. It would be that he had died 800 years earlier. So, anyway, this is what's being said. I'm just reading, brothers and sisters. I'm just reading what it says. So the span between them, between Jesus and Prophet Muhammad, according to the hadith in Bukhari, the span between them, okay, and again, the problem that we have with hadiths is, you know, is that there are various reports. So some say 400, some say 600, some say 620. It could be that he had died 800 years earlier, which would be near to Daniel's time. Okay? So it's not like, you know, we have to take all of this with a grain of salt when we talk about, you know, some of the ideas in hadith. But I guess he thought it was important enough to print in the book of Ibn Kathir, the stories of the prophets, knowing that today we would take it with a grain of salt. Okay, so, however, he could still have been somebody else. So it says here, so they say they found a man in the cave that was full of treasures, and he had scripts by him. And in these scripts were stories, citations, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, well, who was the man? They said, well, we think the man was Daniel. And they had buried him, you know, in 13 graves. I'm just, this is what they're saying. And so they said, he was not a prophet, but a saintly man, because there was no prophet between Esau, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, according to Hadith in Bukhari. So they say that the span between them, the dead man and Muhammad, peace be upon him, was variously reported as 400, 600, 800 years. And it could be that he had died 800 years earlier, which would have been closer to Daniel's time if his being Daniel was correct. However, they say, he could still have been somebody else. Except either a prophet or a saint. Yet the truth is, more likely, he was Daniel. Because he had been taken by the king of Persia and remained in prison, as already mentioned. It was narrated with a good citation that his nose, as one span, 9 inches long, was a good citation, said that his nose was an arm's stretch long, on which basically he is thought to be an ancient prophet from before this period. Almighty Allah knows best. I mean, no truer words were spoken. But the human being, you know how we do, brothers and sisters. You know, we get the story. We start, you know, twisting and turning and putting our little bit in it. You know, we put our into it. That's what we do. Anyway, Daniel's death, according to Hadith. But before we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to take a station break. We're going to go ahead and we're going to play a PSA.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful coming to North New Jersey December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Yes, we hope to see you there. American Muslim 360, a New Day Community Radio, a Muslim Journal. Yes, you know, the whole idea is to increase subscriptions and also for us to get together just as a community of people under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad that, you know, has been established here in the wilderness of North America, according to the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad. Our Lord grant him paradise and may the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon Imam Wazuddin Muhammad and also be upon the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, which brings us to the other idea and that to another announcement, and that is that the wife of our beloved Imam Wazuddin Muhammad, his first wife, Shirley, she passed yesterday afternoon. May Allah forgive her sins and favor her with a comfortable space in the paradise, for surely she did a very good job of being a companion of Imam Wazuddin Muhammad by giving him three, you know, very important children. And in particular, I'm going to mention Imam Wazuddin Muhammad. Which is the son of Wallace D. Muhammad, because he is a young man. Well, I mean, he's not young anymore, but he's the one who is striving to keep the legacy of his family alive. We're talking about the honor. He comes from the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad, and he comes from Wallace D. Muhammad, and he's continuing. And that in itself is something that should be supported. So we thank Imam Wallace B. Muhammad, and we thank Sister Shirley for the work that they did in producing another leader for us, which is Imam Wazuddin Muhammad. Wazuddin Muhammad. May Allah continue to bless him with good works. So, continuing with the story, Daniel's death. So, Ibn Dunya reported from Abu Bilal, Abu Musa, found with Daniel a holy script, and it contained in which was dirhams, much be money, his ring and ointment. He wrote to Umar, who replied, "Send the scripture to me. Send some of the ointment. Tell the Muslims who are with you to use it. Share the dirhams among them and leave the ring for you." So that was dispersing of his belongings. So Ibn Bakr Dunya related without citation that when Musa was told that he was Daniel, he stayed with him, embraced him, and kissed him. Then he wrote to Umar that he found with him nearly 10,000 dirhams. It used to be that people came to borrow from it, and they did not return it. They became sick. Umar ordered his burial in a grave to be kept secret and the money to be sent to the treasury with the box and the ring, a gift to him, Abu Musa, the one who, you know, found it. It is related of Abu Musa that he told four of the captives to dam the river and dig a grave in the middle where he buried him. Then he beheaded the four captives, astaghfirullah, in order for the secret to be kept from all except himself. So Yeah, you know, Vindicta Graves, what did I do? You know about the secret, so I'm going to have to behead you. It was like, wow, man, it was like that. It was like that. It is related, Abu Musa told that he told four of the captives, to dig the graves, and then so they dug the graves, and then for their good work, they got beheaded. Oh, boy. Anyway, Daniel's ring. Ibn Dunya also reported by a chain of citations that a ring was seen on the hand of Abu Musa. The gem was carved with two lions with a man between them whom they were licking. This is the ring of that man whom the people of this town say is Daniel. Abu Musa took it the day he was buried. The learned people of the town told Abu Musa that soothsayers and astrologers told the king in Daniel's time that a boy would be born who would destroy him and his kingdom. So the king swore to kill all the baby boys except that they threw Daniel in the lion's den, and the lion and lioness began to lick him and did not harm him. His mother came and took him. Abu Musa said, and so Daniel carved his image and the images of the two lions into the gem of his ring for him not to forget Allah's blessing upon him. This has a good citation. Okay, so I'm going to say that you have any questions, you have any comments, and press one on your phone, and I'll bring you into the conversation. And the reason why I'm doing that is because there is another prophet that we're going to go to. I don't know if we're going to have time. Yeah, we'll probably have time to go to this next prophet. This is not that long. I just hope that it's not as suspenseful as the other ones. Okay? And this one, just to make sure, let me just make sure. So, right. So we just did Prophet Daniel. We just finished Prophet Daniel. And so this next prophet, prophet number 25, is Ezra. And have you heard of him, Prophet Ezra? Okay, so let's see what's going on with Ezra. We have some time. So the way that it starts off with, this is how it starts off. It starts off with the Ezra sleeps for 100 years. Eshak, on the authority of Ibn Abbas and others, that Ezra was a saint and a wise man. He went out one day to his farm, as was his custom. Afternoon, he came to a deserted, ruined place and felt the heat. He entered the ruined town and dismounted his donkey, taking figs and grapes in his basket. He went under the shade of a tree and ate his food. Then he got up to look at what remained of the ruins. The people had long been lost, and he was bones. In quotes, it says, "Oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death?" And they make a quote from the Quran, Surah 2, verse 259. "Oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death?" I've heard this one before in one of the other stories. He said this not out of doubt, but out of curiosity. Allah sent the angel of death to take his life. He remained dead for 100 years. I'm talking about Ezra. After 100 years had passed and there had been changes in Hebrew affairs, Allah sent an angel upon Ezra to revive his heart and his eyes for him to feel and see how Allah revives the dead. Brothers and sisters, I'm just reading what the story says. The angel said, "For how long did you sleep?" He said, "A day or part of a day." He said this part, this because he knew he had slept early in the afternoon and woke up late in the afternoon. The angel said, "You remained asleep for 100 years. He ate and drank the food which he had prepared before he was overtaken by a long sleep. Then the angel revived his donkey." So we remember this story. Problem that I'm looking at in this story. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a quote, okay? It says, "Almighty Allah said, 'And look at your donkey. Thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and close them with flesh. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, "I know now that Allah is able to do all things." Surah 2, verse 259. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a minute, and we're going to look up Surah 2, verse 259. And the reason why we're doing this is because we have the technology to do this, brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the technology to make this happen. Because what we want to see is, what does the Quran actually say about Surah 2, verse 259? And the reason why I'm doing this is because there was another part of the story that we just went through. It says, "Oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after his death?" Surah 2, verse 259. And then we jump down to it, and it says, "And look at your donkey. Thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and close them with flesh." That's also Surah 2, verse 259. So let's take a look at Surah 2, verse 259. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. "Are you not aware of the one who passed by a city which was in ruins? He wondered, 'How could Allah bring this back to life after its destruction?' So Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then brought him back to life. Allah asked, 'How long have you remained in this state?' He replied, 'Perhaps a day or part of a day.' Allah said, 'Nay, you have remained here for 100 years. Just look at your food and drink. They have not spoiled. But now, look at the remains of your donkey. And so, we have made you into a sign for humanity. And look at the bones of the donkey, how we bring them together, then clothe them with flesh. When this was made clear to him, he declared, 'Now I know that Allah is most capable of everything.'" Salak Allahu al-Azim. That is Surah 2, verse 259 from Quran, brothers and sisters. When we go back to the story, then we understand what Ezra, this whole idea of Ezra, and even though the Quran doesn't give it a name, in the stories of the prophets, Ibn Kathir gives it the name that it was Ezra that this happened to. So Ezra returns home. He rode on his donkey and entered his native place. But the people did not recognize him, nor did his household, except the maid, now an old woman. He asked her, "Is this the house of Ezra?" She said, "Yes. But the people have long forgotten Ezra." He said, "I am Ezra. Allah has taken my life for 100 years and now has returned it to me." She said, "Ezra used to be answered when he prayed to Allah, 'Cure me of blindness, if you are Ezra.' He prayed for her and massaged her eyes and took her by the hand. 'Get up by the power of Allah,' he said. The crippled woman stood up and walked. She opened her eyes and saw. Her blindness was gone. She said, 'I bear witness that you are Ezra.'" And that is the story of Ezra, brothers and sisters. Ezra finds captives. Ezra finds and copies the Torah. So, let's see here. "She rushed to the assembly of the Hebrews. Ezra's son was 180 18 years old, and his children's children now were lords of the assembly. She called out to them, saying, "This is Ezra come to you." They accused her of lying. She said, "I am your old maid. He has just prayed to Allah for me, and here I am whole again, walking and seeing." The people stood up and looked at him. His son said, "My father has a mark between his shoulders, a black mole," and they discovered it. They said, none among us memorized the Torah since Nebuchadnezzar burnt it, except Ezra. And there was only one copy of the Torah, which was hidden by Sakurkra. He buried it in the days of Nebuchadnezzar in a place none but Ezra knows. Ezra led the people to the hidden place and took out that copy of the Torah. Its leaves had rotted and the book itself crumbled. Ezra sat under the shade of a tree surrounded by the children of the Hebrews and copied out the Torah for them from the script. Henceforth, the Hebrews said that Ezra is the son of Allah for two evidences which came down from heaven and for his copying the Torah and for his fighting the cause of the Hebrews. He had been copying the Torah for Ezekiel in the land of darkness in the hermitage of Ezekiel. The village which was in ruins is said to be Sabbath. So it is Allah that said in the Quran, again, "We have made of you a sign for the people," Surah 2, verse 259, which was what we read. Remember, brothers and sisters, you know, we read that, and it said, let me see where it said. Oh, again, Surah 2, verse 259. "Or are you not aware of one who passed by a city which was in ruins?" He wondered, "How could Allah bring this back to life after its destruction?" So Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then brought him back to life and asked. Allah asked, "How long have you remained in this state?" He said, "Perhaps a day or part of the day." Allah said, "Nay, you have remained here for 100 years. Just look at your food and drink. They have not spoiled. But now look at the remains of the donkey. And so we have made you a sign for humanity. Is for the Hebrews, and that he was sitting among his children, the old man, and he a youth. He died as a 40-year-old, and Allah reconstructed him at the same age on the day of his death." So that is the story of Ezra. It's been interesting. We cannot. You know, deny the Quran, which has told us this story of, you know, your food. You're not. First of all, let's take a look at this. That Allah does whatever He chooses, which is true. And sometimes we have come to understand that in the reading of the Quran, there are some things we understand, and there are many things that we don't understand. And especially if we put human logic to it, sometimes we just can't figure it out. But the Quran basically says that there was a man that was chosen. In the story of Ibn Kathir, that man is given a name as Ezra. I don't remember Ezra actually being mentioned in the Quran. Maybe he is, but I don't remember him being mentioned. Because, you know, sometimes the Quran just makes a mention of a prophet, okay, and doesn't, you know, actually go into the story. So I don't remember Ezra actually being mentioned, but it is mentioned in the Quran about, and are you aware of one who passed by a city which was in ruins and he wondered? That's the language of Quran. This is, how could Allah bring this back to life after its destruction? So this man who wondered that, okay, which the Quran doesn't mention by name, okay, says, you know, he wondered, that the man wondered. So Allah caused this man to die for 100 years. then brought him back to life. And Allah asked him, it wasn't a man that asked him, it was Allah that asked him, how long have you remained in this state? And he said, probably a day, a part of a day. Allah said, no, you have remained here for 100 years. Just look at your food and drink. Now, this whole idea of look at your food and drink, it says it doesn't necessarily, I mean, just going into it a little bit, look at your food and drink. Look at the food and drink, not necessarily the same food and drink, because we know that food has the ability to deteriorate or to lose its mineral values. But it's a possibility that just look at your food and drink. In other words, you're still drinking, you still have food. It's 100 years later, and you still have food, and you still have drink. And 100 years, brothers and sisters, not necessarily during this time, was not necessarily a long time. Remember, we're talking about at times where people were living over 100 years. So it might sound like a lot to us because we're not used to living 100 years, you know, today. But for him to say, well, how long have you been sleeping? Well, a day or part of a day. Now you have sleeping for 100 years, meaning that maybe, you know, we have kept you innocent. I'm just, you know, I kept you alive for 100 years and kept you focused and concentrated on just what you've been doing and have continued to provide you with food and drink, you know, and that has not spoiled. Your resources of getting food and drink have not spoiled. And look at the remains of your donkey, same thing. The remains of, and look at the remains of your donkey. Again, I don't know. We don't know. We're just, you know, philosophizing on, you know, what may have been. But truth be told, we don't know what that situation is. And when, inshallah, maybe one day Allah will make it clear to some of us. But I'm going to go to, but that is what the story says. And it makes reference in the Quran that was the story of what it was as far as Ezra was concerned. And they said that was the situation that happened with him in the story. So it says, well, that is the Hebrews. He was sitting with his children. They said that this guy Ezra, for the Hebrews, that he was sitting among his children. Now the other part is to remember this. That we should take into consideration that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hasn't been, you know, there's no mention of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There's no mention of Ishmael. Okay, Ishmael is born. We know that. Ishmael is born. But there is no reference to the books of Ishmael. There's only reference to the books of the second son, or the son from Sarah, which was Isaac, okay? So all of these references for all of these prophets that we've been talking about are from the side of Sarah, okay? Because there is no mention. I mean, the last prophet was mentioned was Ishmael. Ishmael was mentioned as a prophet. But after that, on the side of Ishmael, there's no other prophets that are basically mentioned. But on the side of Elisha, on the side of Isaac, we do have prophets mentioned because these are people that wrote books. That's the point that I'm making. And it's mentioned as far as being the Hebrews. So it's not a thing of actually being the Muslims yet. The Mohammedans. There's no mention of that yet. Because, you know, it's just that these are the people that read the books, that wrote the books. Musa, you know, was one who, you know, he brought the so-called Ten Commandments, but we know it was more like that. Ezekiel. Elisha, Samuel, Dawood, David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Daniel. You know, these are people who had books. Ezra, people who had books, all right, and this story that we was just talking about. What did it say? It said that Ezra revived the Torah. That's the book, that the collection of books was the Torah. That was what he revived. So we should always take that into consideration, that we're talking about the Hebrew side, that those who Allah taught the use of the pen. We have, I mean, you know, it's got there. You know, it's not, the mention of the pen is not there yet, but that's exactly what they were doing. They were writing. They were keeping scripts. When they found the man in the treasure house, he didn't only have money, but he had scripts. He had annals. These were writings that he had. So these were people that were familiar with the writings, okay? And it was on the side of the son of Sarah, which was Isaac, that we're really talking about. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because these were people who believed in the oneness of God. They believed in Allah, the one we call Allah. So when Ibn Kathir wrote the book, when he wrote it, he used the name for the one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, as Allah. That's what he used the name as, Allah. Okay, now the Hebrews may have used another name. They may have used Yahweh or, you know, in their writings or something. But Ibn Kathir came after the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And when he wrote the book, and he said it was Allah, meaning, you know, no God, you know, no God except Allah. That's what Allah means. I've heard of people trying to science up and say that, the Muslims, you know, they got the name Allah, meaning there's no God, no God, no God, because the name Allah means no God, right? So we're saying there's no God except Allah, but they're saying, but some people, you know, people who go and start philosophizing and sciencing up. Ah, no, it didn't mean that. This is what it meant. Ah, it meant no God. Yeah. Human beings, we are interesting creatures, aren't we? Anyway, I got 5 minutes left. No, I got 2 minutes left in the program. Like, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining me today on Ibn Kathir, the Lives of the Prophets. And we have come thus far to 25 prophets, and the next prophet that we're going to be going to is Prophet Zechariah. That's the one that we're going to be going to next Tuesday. I'd like to invite you to join me today on A New Day Community Radio, 515-605-9326. And we're going to, why Muslim Americans don't want to get married. I'm going to have a special guest, and we're going to be talking about some interesting subjects as far as marriage and relationships is concerned. Today, Tuesday, courtship and marriage comes on today, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that you tune into that, courtship and marriage. And here is a promo for that. Oh, wait a minute. I have a telephone call. We're going to bring that call in. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha Nala Williams. Your microphone is open.
Oh, thank you very much, William. I apologize. There is one additional new presentation hour now on AM 360. And I'm admittedly saying I don't have the title down pat, but if you give me a moment while you play the public service announcement, I'll get that title. Is the husband, now I don't know if it will be today, but we can check in at, I think it's at 3 p.m., 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 6:30.
Right.
And it's the husband of Layla Muhammad, as you mentioned about Layla's mother transitioning,
Okay, so let me go ahead and play this.
Okay.
Let me play the announcement, okay?
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
All right. That's
yes,
all right.
And
yes,
it's inheriting the power of mental freedom. Inheriting the power of mental freedom. And I believe that's Imam Shahid Abdullah as he presents at 5
yes.
p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's
all
today,
right?
Tuesday?
Alhamdulillah.
That's
Is every
that on
Tuesday?
Tuesday,
yes. Yes.
Okay. Could you say that again?
Inheriting the power of mental freedom.
Today, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on American Muslim 360. Thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, and inshallah, until next time, I give you the greetings, myself and Sister Martha, of Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.